It's time to get your sports weekend rolling. You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff, the best way to start your sports weekend. Now, here's Dave Benton.
What's up? Welcome in. Weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Glad to see you survive the storm last night to make it here this morning to listen to us. Dave Benton here alongside Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer, who is back from his little trip out east, a little whitewater rafting. From what I hear, it was a little bit in the boat, a little bit outside the boat, so we're glad that he's home safely. We've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk NBA playoffs, big game from Zach Randolph last night, 30 points, 13 rebounds to force a game 7 between Memphis and Oklahoma City. We're going to talk all about the NBA playoffs. We'll also talk Detroit Red Wings and NHL playoffs, Detroit Tigers. We're going to give you our sort of month and a half into the season review of what's going on in all of Major League Baseball. Last week, I talked a little bit about the Tigers and a little bit about the AL Central, but this week, Scott and I are going to talk about all of Major League Baseball in general and bring it full circle, who we think are the big winners of the first month and a half, the big loser, who's got much to do, who's right on pace of where they should be. I think we both feel the Detroit Tigers should be pretty happy with where they are at 21-18, considering the circumstances at the beginning of the season. We'll also talk some Michigan football, a couple of stories coming out of Michigan football that we need to get to, one about Tate Forcier, who will not be at Miami, and one about Daryl Stoneham, who may not be at Michigan much longer. So we'll touch on both of those. And then Tony Paul, national baseball writer for the Detroit News, also does a blog called Covering the Bases for the Detroit News. He will be with us at 10:30 as we talk plenty of baseball today. But I want to get started today talking about the Detroit Red Wings. And we will get to plenty of the 7-game series with the Sharks and the big comeback by the Wings and things of that nature. But before we get into all that, and before we get into speculation about Nick Lidstrom and what's going to happen with the Wings in the future, I think that Detroit fans and Michigan fans of Detroit in general should take a step back and look out just how successful this franchise has been. Because they're literally, and you can argue with me all you want, bring up as many stats as you want, I'm telling you, there has literally never been a more successful stint from a franchise in the salary cap era. Of any sports that's in salary caps, of football, of basketball, of hockey, there has never been a team with a longer stint of dominance than the Detroit Red Wings right now. Basically, from 1991 through this year, they have been a legit competitor to win the Stanley Cup. Now, there are other teams and other franchises in other leagues that can say that they've been a contender from time to time, that can say they've been a contender for even as much as 15 years like the 49ers were. But the bottom line is, nobody has done it for as long as the Detroit Red Wings have. Nobody. And nobody's done it in more eras than the Detroit Red Wings have. Because a lot of times what happens is these professionals and these teams, they sort of dominate for an era until their franchise player retires. For example, with the 49ers, when Steve Young and Joe Montana left, their franchise kind of went down in the dumps. When the Bulls lost Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, they went down in the dumps. I'm sure when Peyton Manning finally retires, the Indianapolis Colts are going to have a low point. It's just the way it's always been. But the Detroit Red Wings have now gone through two eras of players, basically. First, you went through the Steve Yzerman era. Now you're basically done with the Nick Lidstrom era. And here we still are. And the Detroit Red Wings are still dominating and still a legitimate contender to win the Stanley Cup every single year. Now, whether they do or not is irrelevant, because the bottom line is, if they're in the conversation, if we're sitting here and saying that they've got the best players and that they've got a great chance to win it every single year, that means that their franchise is a legitimate franchise for the last 20 years as the best team in their sport. And no franchise in any salary cap sport has done it for as long as the Detroit Red Wings have. Now, that being said, we do have to talk a little bit about the future of the Detroit Red Wings, because we are at the end of another era. If you look at this roster, Holmstrom's 38, Bertuzzi's 36, Lidstrom's 41, Rafalski's 37, Draper's 39. There's a lot of guys on this team. Despite youth coming up in this organization, guys like Abdelkader, guys like Helm. These are good players, but you're losing another era. And in salary cap sports, every franchise goes through a lull. Every single one, because the margin for error is so small that one bad draft, one bad free agent signing can lead to a poor 5 or 6 years of your franchise. That's just the way it's always been. So the Detroit Red Wings, despite how successful Ken Holland is, and despite how good their front office is at evaluating talent and bringing the right people in, eventually it's got to come to an end. Eventually it has to. And I'm not saying that the Red Wings are done. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that the Red Wings are about to turn back into the 1980s Red Wings. I'm not saying that at all. They're still going to be a playoff contender. They're still going to be a playoff team with guys like Helm. But the question is, can they continue to be a contender if they lose guys like, especially Nick Lidstrom? Because Nick Lidstrom is somebody who is irreplaceable on this team. Bottom line, nobody can run the point like Nick Lidstrom in the entire league. Why does the Red Wings power play always look so much calmer and so much more organized than every other team in the league? When every other team, it looks like they're just throwing it around and doing their best to keep it in the zone, the Wings are calm, composed, crisp passes. Why do they do that? Because Lidstrom's at the point. So the question becomes, if Nick Lidstrom, who is 41 now, decides that he's going to retire, where do you go? Well, for a year and a half or so, you can go with Rafalski, although he can be injury-prone from time to time. He did a good job running the point for the U.S. Olympic team, but he's 37. He can't have much time left. So when you lose these guys, can you find somebody new to plug in to take their place? Because that's what the Wings have done. That's been the formula for success. They lose a guy like Draper, they bring in a guy like Helm. They lose a guy like Holmstrom, they bring in a guy like Franzen. They've always been able to do that. Well, can you do that with a player like Lidstrom? Now, what did we learn from this Shark series? Well, I learned two very important things. First of all, Pavel Datsyuk's not just the best player on the Red Wings. Pavel Datsyuk's the best player in the NHL. And you can argue Sidney Crosby, you can argue Ovechkin. But the bottom line is, what Datsyuk does for the Red Wings, nobody else does for their team. Ovechkin is individually brilliant, but does he make the Capitals better? Sidney Crosby is a great player, but is he the sole reason that the Penguins are as good as they are? He's not. He's not. But Datsyuk showed in these playoffs that he can take over a game, and that's very hard to do in the NHL. And it's even harder to do when the way you take over the game is by bringing everybody else with you and creating plays, getting people involved. And that's something Datsyuk does better than anybody in the league. The other thing I learned is that the Red Wings may have found, finally, after 10 to 15 years, they may have found a goaltender that they can actually count on. Because that playoff series against the Sharks could be a gigantic confidence builder for the usually inconsistent Jimmy Howard. He was fantastic, and he kept them in this series for 5 of the games. The Red Wings have never been able to count on a goaltender to keep them in a game. Ever. Dominic Hasek, he was past his prime when he was with the Wings. He was facing 19 shots a game. Chris Osgood, couldn't count on him in the playoffs. Mike Vernon was a good playoff goalie. Couldn't count on him in the regular season. Jimmy Howard has the potential to be a goaltender that the Wings can count on during this quote-unquote transition period over the next couple of years, that if they have games where they're giving up 40 to 50 shots, he will keep them in those games. Because that's what happened in this series against the Sharks. They got outshot a lot in this series, and Jimmy Howard was able to keep them in it. Now, during the regular season, people were questioning, is Jimmy Howard the guy? And I really do believe with this series, this is going to give him the confidence, and it's going to give the Wings the confidence that they have the right goaltender in place. And he may be the single biggest key to the next 5 years for the Detroit Red Wings, because if they go through these transitions and they have these seasons when they're a 5 seed, a 4 seed, a 6 seed, and they don't have as much talent as they used to, they can steal a playoff series with a hot goaltender. They've never been able to do that before. Scott, I'm looking at this team. What makes you the most nervous about the Detroit Red Wings for the future?
You hit it right there. Losing Nick Lidstrom. Because you can look at him over all the years, and he really never changed. You could ask anybody who's watched, how old is Nick Lidstrom?
They don't know.
35.
I even was shocked when I saw he was 41. I was, no way.
Right.
There's no way he's 41.
In the consistency there, it's tough to tell for defense and hockey unless you really know the game, which I don't. I'll readily admit that I am not as big on hockey as other sports.
Right.
To see the intricacies, to know just how good he is on defense, that's a lot harder than figuring out how good Pavel Datsyuk is. But just the consistency of being able to throw him back there and have him play the minutes that he does. He normally, not so much the last couple years, but usually leads the league in minutes played.
Yep.
His plus minus is unbelievably high, doesn't take very many penalties, and he'll just shut people down. And not having that leader and that guy who you don't have to worry when he's on the ice.
Yeah.
And that just takes away a big comfort level for Jimmy Howard and for the rest of the team, I'm sure.
Here's another issue with the Red Wings that I think they're going to have to worry about as the next couple of seasons go along. One of the great things about the Detroit Red Wings, and I've found this in most sports, if the gap between your best player and worst player is not very distant, you're going to be successful. Because first of all, you practice hard against each other, and that competition is there. And second of all, if your fourth line, if we're talking hockey, is as good as somebody else's third line, you have a major advantage. And the Detroit Red Wings, have, for the last 10 years or so, had four solid lines that they could go to other teams' solid three lines. And so it should be interesting to see, as they lose some of these players, if they're able to get guys to fill a fourth line, or what's going to happen if they have to go down to three lines for an entire season and have that fourth line that's just not as good. We'll talk more Red Wings next. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.